As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant, designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Brought to you by Apple Card. Hey, you could be earning 2% daily cash back on that purchase. And that one. And even that one. That's because Apple Card users earn 2% daily cash back on every purchase, including everyday items they buy online or in-store when using their Apple Card with Apple Pay. Not an Apple Card customer? You can apply in the Wallet app on iPhone. Subject to credit approval, Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch. Terms and more at apple.co/benefits.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Most Valuable Promotions and Netflix are hosting a blockbuster triple headliner Saturday, May 16th. Ronda Rousey returns to face fellow women's MMA pioneer Gina Carano in the main event. Plus co-mains Nate Diaz versus Mike Perry and the best heavyweight in the world, Francis Ngannou versus Felipe Lenz. Watch Ronda Rousey versus Gina Carano live only on Netflix. Saturday, May 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, May 14th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And it's like Christmas morning because it is scheduled day. Tonight, 8 o'clock. This is what's on the schedule for today. Always good to have one of those back in the Go Birds Daily Rundown. Tonight at 8 o'clock, the Eagles 2026 schedule will officially be released. But as I'm sure you know, because I feel like the listeners of this pod are always paying close attention to what's happening in the Eagles street, we already have a few games out. So we're going to talk about that. A super exciting one coming up. We'll be going across the pond. Very excited for that. But tonight at 8 o'clock, we get the full schedule, which means we will have a really good idea of how this Eagles season will play out once we get this schedule, right? The tough parts, when the bye week is, although I think we can guess when the bye week is, who they open against, how they close, when the divisional games are. Crucial, crucial night tonight for the Eagles and their season. And I can't wait to talk to you guys about it. We're going to have a pod breaking down the schedule, win, losses, pretty much as soon as it comes out. So make sure you check your feed for that. We'll have a daily tomorrow. I'll probably do some schedule stuff. I'm kind of debating doing a daily strictly non-schedule, because if you're just not that into the schedule, we're going to have schedule pods, maybe just other news and notes. So we'll see what the daily looks like tomorrow. But I can't wait for tonight. I can't wait to get the schedule. Let's dive into some stuff, though, for today's daily pod as we await all these games to come out. So, as I said, the Eagles are going to London. They are playing, and it's official now. I've been trying to tell you guys since Monday, but it's official now. The Eagles are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, October 11th, 9:30 Eastern time, 1:30 over there across the pond. And the Eagles will be playing at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So last time they played in London, of course, was 2018. They played the Jaguars. They beat the Jaguars. So those two things will probably be in common. But they played at Wembley Stadium last time. Wembley, a very iconic stadium over there. It's where all the huge soccer matches, football matches, I guess, take place over there. The NFL's played there. The Eagles have played there. But Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is the home of Tottenham, the soccer team. It's a state-of-the-art stadium. It was just built, I think, 5 years ago. It's been open, so not super, super new, but definitely new compared to most stadiums over there and most stadiums, you know, in the NFL. 5 years, not a long time at all. So they're going to play at the new stadium. It's going to be sick. I can't wait. I'll be going over there. And let me tell you guys this, right? if you're going to come to London, I want to give like a special shout out to Fans of Philly. If you've been listening to the pod for a while, you know Fans of Philly has been our friend for a long time. We do our Go Birds trip. We do it with Fans of Philly. When I do all my trips, I do it with Fans of Philly. And one of the interesting parts, for my career at least, of going from like being a full-time beat reporter, like strictly newspaper guy, to coming to radio is like you get partnerships, right? And I've been very lucky that one of my partnerships has been Fans of Philly. So Fans of Philly is run by Joe. And when you call, when you email, like that's who you talk to. It's Joe, right? And I've been lucky enough to do a bunch of these trips and see how much time and effort he puts into each of them, how every person on the trip normally has some type of unique situation they're dealing with. They're traveling from here. They want to stay there. They prefer to sit here. And he works with all of them. So Fans of Philly, I could not co-sign enough. If you go on a Fans of Philly trip, I guarantee you, you will have a good experience. But even if I wasn't partners with Fans of Philly, I also think, having been at every Eagles game for the past, you know, whatever, 15 years, going to an away game with Eagles fans is just the way to do it. So if you were excited yesterday about the London news, if you've never been to London, if you love going to London, if you want to go and see, if you want to go and see an Eagles game overseas, the way to do it is with a bunch of Eagles fans. Like I said, WIP is going to be over there. I'll be over there. I'm pretty sure we're going to broadcast some days there. So if you want to be involved in all that, if you want to be around Eagles fans, if you want to sit near Eagles fans, if you want to tailgate with Eagles fans, if you want to tailgate with WIP people, including your boy, go check out fansofphilly.com and you will get to experience all that. So couldn't co-sign Fans of Philly enough more. I hope by this point of you listening to my voice every day, you can tell, like, I mean, I'm always being honest, but you can tell like when I truly, truly believe something. And I couldn't recommend more doing this trip through fansofphilly.com. So I'll probably say it a few more times, but I wanted to give a heartfelt kind of explanation of why I feel that way about Fans of Philly. And I'm very, very excited to do this trip with them. I've already talked to Joe about what he has planned, where he's staying, the flights. It's going to be sick. We're both very excited for it. And you'll get to hang with Joe on the trip too. Joe is a fun guy. I bet you he'll even buy you a beer. I've seen him do that. I guess a pint over there in London. All right. So as I said, the Eagles are in London, but it's not just the Eagles that'll be going overseas next year. The entire international game schedule for 2026 was put out on Wednesday as we await the rest of the schedule. And the Eagles are, I mean, the NFL is playing more games overseas than they ever have. They're going to be in Australia. They're going to be in Brazil. Obviously, they're going to be in England. There's going to be three games in England. They're playing in France, Madrid, Munich, and Mexico City. And a bunch of different teams are going to be there. So week one, the Niners and the Rams play in Melbourne, Australia. I guarantee you the Eagles will be playing in that game soon because of Jordan Mailata. Week three, the Cowboys and the Ravens play in Brazil. Obviously, the Eagles went there in 2024. It was an unbelievable time. This time, they're playing in Rio de Janeiro. Last time, they played in Sao Paulo. So there is that difference. Weeks 4, 5, and 6, there'll be three straight games in England. The Colts and Washington, week 4. Eagles and Jags, week 5. Texans and Jags, week 6. So the Jags play back-to-back weeks. I think from a schedule standpoint, the Eagles getting the Jags in the first time there in London, or at least first week, as opposed to the second week, is an advantage. They're not, you know, they're not playing a team that's been overseas for a few weeks. They're going to be overseas roughly the amount of time, same time as the Jaguars, as opposed to the Texans, who in theory likely won't be out there, you know, prior to week 5. Then week 7, Paris, France, Steelers, Saints, not a great matchup in a game, but two good fan bases, should be well attended. And then week 9, Madrid, Spain, the Bengals at the Falcons, who cares? Week 10, potentially AJ Brown and the Detroit Lions in Germany. That's the Patriots versus the Lions. And then week 11, Mexico City, the Vikings at the 49ers. So the 49ers go overseas twice this year. And, you know, now we don't know the exact order of the games yet, but we do know where teams are going now that we know the international games. And so ESPN put out a graphic on Wednesday breaking down just how far teams are going to be flying this year. And the Eagles, despite going over to London, despite going to San Francisco, going out to Dallas, which, you know, halfway across the country, roughly, are not like that high. They're relatively high, but they're not in the top three of total miles flown this season. London is about 3,500 miles away from Philly, 7,000 round trip. The Eagles on the season are flying 22,115 miles. So you take away the London trip, which you can't, I know. But I think what it shows is the rest of their games are relatively close, right? Because that's only 14,000 miles divided by five or six games. So they're not traveling a ton outside of London. But they do have the San Francisco trip and the Dallas trip. Now, number one in the league in miles traveled, as you might imagine from listening to those international games, San Francisco. San Francisco is flying 38,000 miles this year. They're going to Australia. They're going to Mexico City. They're going to be going all over. The Rams, number two, also going to Australia. Clearly, that's a big part of it. And then outside of that, the Texans, the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Chargers, and the Jags are all ahead of the Eagles. The Cowboys going to Brazil. Obviously, the Texans will be in London. The Patriots are going to Germany. And then the Dolphins and Chargers, they're not going overseas. So I guess they just have opponents that are far away. So the Eagles, ninth in the league in total miles flown this upcoming season. Not great, not terrible. Kind of, you know, roughly in the middle there. And I do think from this organization going to London in 2018, obviously a lot of new players, completely new staff, but you have Howie, you have Jeffrey Lurie, you have Don Smolinski, you have Big Dom, and you do have some players who did that trip. Lane did the trip. Jake Elliott did the trip. We'll see if Brandon Graham's back, but he did the trip. So there is a few players on the roster that are familiar with it. Dallas Goedert did the trip, now that I think about it. So I think that they will likely, if I had to guess, like, I don't think they're going to practice 3 days out there. They'll probably go out, maybe get one practice in. Maybe in Brazil, they flew 2 days before. They did 1 day at the stadium and they played the next day and left right after. But Brazil, there was only a 1 hour time difference, I think. Maybe it was 2 hours. With London, you're looking at like a 5 hour time difference. So that's the really hard part of the trip. It's an easy flight. I've done it a bunch of times, no big deal to me. And it's really just adjusting that first day. So my guess is if you play on Sunday, you probably want to arrive Friday. You feel normal Saturday, you play Sunday, you fly home Monday. And my guess is they'll have the bye week after. We won't know for sure until tonight, but normally teams that play overseas have the bye week after. And I'm guessing the Eagles would prefer that because week six is also a pretty good bye week. You've played five games, you're coming off training camp, you get a week off, you probably have a Thursday night game later in the season, and you get a little mini bye. So I think they would prefer the week six bye, but obviously we won't know until tonight. So come to London, come hang out. It's going to be a sick game. It feels like it's already relatively close, but we have so much before then. Training camp, four games, but I'm excited for the trip, and hopefully we all get to hang out at the trip. All right, some other things I wanted to talk to you about in today's Daily Pod. Romeo Doubs, the Patriots' current number one receiver. The Patriots are at OTAs. They've talked to the media, a few of their players, and as you imagine, they're getting asked about A.J. Brown. Kevin Byard, the safety who was in Philly with A.J. in 2023, worked out with A.J. Brown earlier this offseason, was asked about it, and essentially was like, yeah, I'd love if it happened, clearly not giving anything away. But Romeo Doubs is a little more interesting case, not to be a Patriots pod for a second, but I did think this audio was interesting. It made me think something about how AJ might feel once he gets to New England. So Romeo Doubs was asked about the idea of AJ coming in and, you know, potentially knocking Romeo Doubs down in the pecking order. And here is what Romeo had to say.
No, I mean, I was true to my word when I came here that, you know, there is no number one guy in this offense. So whatever it is I have to do, whether if it's playing into the strength more or, you know, playing on the backside every here and now, or even having the wrong teams, which I'm really familiar with because I've done it in Green Bay also. So I'm open to all roles. That's just part of this league. You know, the more you can do, the more you can do for the team, the more you show for yourself, just things in that nature. So the
part that caught my attention there is no true number one receiver, right? Or no number one receiver. If I'm AJ, I'm listening to that and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Like, I'm coming in here to be the number one receiver. Now, during this whole AJ thing, we have talked a lot about what AJ wants, why he's upset, what, you know, all those things. I do think AJ is used to sharing the ball. We've seen that with Devontae. We've seen that with the running game. And while I think that naturally there's part of that that probably annoys him, just like it annoys Devontae, I think AJ's true issue is just the passing game not running on time, the ball not coming where it's supposed to be where it's supposed to come. But it is an interesting thing to think about. Like, they did pay Romeo Doubs quite a bit. They do have Hunter Henry. They like to run the ball in New England. Like, AJ might not find that he comes to New England and gets the ball way more than he did in Philadelphia. Like, he got a ton of targets with the Eagles, and they paid Romeo Doubs quite a bit of money. Now, last year, Stephon Diggs got 102 targets. He was their number one receiver. He's obviously been released. There's been some rumblings he can go back, but I would think probably not at this point, especially with them about to acquire AJ. There was a big discrepancy, though. Diggs got 102 targets. The number two receiver was Matt Collins. He got 65. Now Hunter Henry, their tight end, got 87. So he was second in targets. But there was a pretty decent discrepancy there, about 40 or so targets between their number one receiver and number two receiver. So they're going to obviously want to target Romeo Doubs more than 65 times. That you're not paying a receiver that amount of money and only giving him 65 targets. But you're also not trading, you know, what's likely going to be some version of a hefty asset via a draft pick to get AJ and not target him like 100 times, if not more. Like, can you imagine? And I think this is possible. AJ goes to New England and gets less targets or fewer targets than he did with the Eagles. And that, again, like, the idea that the grass is always greener is just something I would caution AJ on. Like, I know that there's frustrations with the Eagles, but man, he won a lot of games here. He got a lot of targets. Other than 2024, he got a decent amount of targets every single year, right? Like, I don't think he's ever been top five, but he has been, you know, up there in targets. So Romeo Doubs, I think, is at least used to not getting the ball. He averaged 80 targets a season. At this point, he's been paid. I understand he probably wants to go somewhere and get the ball more, but with the amount of money they paid him, I would probably be like, all right, man, you got paid. You know, it is what it is. But AJ's going to want the ball, and we will see when he gets to New England if he ends up getting the ball as much as, you know, he probably hoped he would get it when he found out he wasn't going to be an Eagle, or at least it was pretty clear he was going to be traded. All right, speaking of, and this guy's actually a former Eagle, but only by a few days, Jair Alexander published an article on Wednesday, and it was a really good read. It was one of those Player Tribune articles, and it really felt like I was like reading his diary. Like, it didn't feel, I'm sure people edited it and stuff, but it didn't feel as if it was just some PR statement. Like, it was really brutally honest, and he talked a lot in there. Jair Alexander, of course, it was with the Eagles for only 3 or 4 days this past season, walks away after a 1 week of practice. And really, when they acquired him, they hope he could be a depth piece for them or potentially take over for Adoree Jackson. Obviously, it didn't end up happening. So in the story, he talks a lot about the struggles he's had with knee injuries and how it's kind of ruined his career, how in Green Bay, he was let go because of the injuries. He goes to Baltimore and he struggles. And he talks a lot about how that week one game with Baltimore, like, completely shattered his confidence. It was like, I'm not the guy I used to be. My knee was bothering me. I was embarrassed at the tape. I was embarrassed to walk into the facility. It was really raw and a good reminder that, you know, these are people that we're talking about that have emotions and things like that. So, you know, with Jair, it's a really good article. I'd read the whole thing if I were you. But I wanted to read this part to you guys because this is about his time in Philadelphia and gives us a little more insight as to how it was. So here's what Jair Alexander had to say. Quote, "Then one afternoon, my agent calls me up and tells me that some teams are considering trading for me. A few days later, I'm walking into the Eagles facility in Philly. Since I hadn't been suiting up for games at that point and was practicing less, I was actually feeling pretty good when I came over to the Eagles and obviously felt like I needed to prove something. For those first few days, I mean, let me tell you, I was one of the best defensive backs out on that practice field. And I was excited too because Eagles were about to play at Green Bay their next game. It was all systems go. But as game day got closer, my knee kept swelling up more and more. It's getting worse and worse because of all the reps. And in my head, as much as I'm trying not to think this way, it's like, here we go again. I was freaking out. I couldn't stop thinking about a potential repeat of what happened in that Bills game. But this time against my former team in my former home stadium, I mean, I know all those people. So it was even more terrifying. The team had planned for me to have my knee drained the day before the game and then give it a go against the Packers. And I remember hearing that plan and checking my phone and seeing that it was like 7 degrees or something in Green Bay, and then just having all these thoughts swirl through my head about my knee in that weather. I went home the night before we were supposed to be flying out to Green Bay in the morning, and I didn't sleep a wink. I'm tossing and turning in bed nonstop. I'm worried and anxious and unable to stop all the negative thoughts from creeping in. I couldn't do it anymore. At like 3 or 4 a.m., I sat up in bed and texted everyone with the Eagles. I was like, I'm sorry, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. I can't keep playing like this. Then, a few hours later, I went down to the facility and told them all in person. I was done. I remember I had this very emotional heart-to-heart talk that morning with Christian Parker, who was the Eagles' DB coach at the time. I was basically crying my eyes out to him about letting even more people down. That'd basically been the story of my life for the previous year, or at least in my head. Me messing up in some way and letting people down and then feeling miserable. I remember telling Coach Parker in that moment, my head's messed up right now. My head is truly messed up. I don't know what to do anymore. End quote. So even just in that passage right there, you can feel the emotion that's in the story, right? Like dealing with what basically ended up being a career-ending injury, trying to play through it, not being the same player, realizing you're not that same player, the emotion that's involved in that, and then basically saying, I can't do it anymore, and having to walk away. So what you see in there is when the Eagles got Jair, I would imagine they probably heard from him and his agent, like, we're excited to go. We're excited to play. And initially, that happened. Like, Jair did play. Now, he said he was one of the best defensive backs on the practice field. You know, I'm glad he enjoyed that confidence. You have to imagine Quinyon, Cooper, you know. But regardless, it sounded like he had a few days of good practice. But it's just sad, right, to think how afraid he was to play in Green Bay. And, like, afraid is maybe not the right word, but, like, worried about going into Green Bay and kind of reliving what he went through week one in Baltimore. So this is one of the best, like, pure, unfiltered, emotional breakdowns, I think, of a player going through the realization that you can't do it anymore. So we talk a lot on this pod about players that are hurt, you know, not the same. Like, we talk about AJ and his knees, right? And I'd imagine if you think about the emotion AJ's felt over the past year, you know, I'm just guessing here, but, like, I'd imagine there's probably some of that with him, you know, like, my knee's not responding the same way it used to. So I thought it was a really good article. I thought it gave a good insight as to what happened with the Eagles. The Eagles didn't trade for him thinking, you know, he's about to retire. He was genuinely excited, and then it all hit him kind of at once. He can't do it anymore. So as we know, that they ended up getting, I think it was about $800,000 back. They get a salary cap credit, didn't get the draft pick back, but, you know, it was also just I think it was a 7th for a 6th. It wasn't much that they traded. So I would go check it out. Google it. Jair Alexander. It's a really interesting read. And although the story is sad, you do leave it feeling happy that he has, you know, kind of come to peace with it. And he obviously had a great NFL career when he was healthy, made a lot of money, and it was a really, really good read. All right. On the other side, NFL.com recently ranked the best rosters in the NFL, and I always love these, as we talked about, because I think it's good perspective. So we'll talk about where the Eagles finished in that roster ranking on the other side, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
make every get-together chill. This Memorial Day, get up to an extra $1,000 off select top brand appliances like LG. Plus, get free delivery at the Home Depot. Tackle pool towels and camp laundry with a large capacity washer. And host in style with the fridge serving craft ice, mini craft ice, cubed ice, and crushed ice. Shop appliance savings now through June 3rd at the Home Depot. Offer valid May 14th through June 3rd. U.S. only. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $998 or more. See store online for details.
So, the Eagles in Philadelphia. Maybe some worry about how the offseason has gone. They are losing AJ. Still need at safety. All those things. But the more and more roster rankings that come out, the more clear it is that the Eagles are still one of the best teams in the NFL. So NFL.com recently ranked the 10 most complete rosters for the 2026 season. Now there's good and bad in this. The good is the Eagles were extremely high in it. The bad is the teams ahead of them are direct competitions to get to the Super Bowl. So number one on the list, the Los Angeles Rams. That seems fair to me. I think the Rams should be viewed as Super Bowl favorites going into the season. Now, a major question they have is Matthew Stafford's health, his age. Can he, you know, kind of withstand a full season? They have Ty Robinson now, but he's a rookie. You know, if Stafford doesn't, you know, hopefully he doesn't get hurt. But, you know, if it's week 13 or 14, at least that point, Ty Simpson would have like a full off season to, and plus some of the season to get ready. But I think the Rams' major weakness is their quarterback is old, and that can result in an injury at any point. And he's obviously incredibly crucial to what they do. But I do think the Rams deserve number one. I think they should be viewed as Super Bowl favorites and should carry that pressure into the season of being expected to win the Super Bowl. Number two, the Seattle Seahawks. I think in terms of roster, I'm okay with it. Their defense is amazing. They have elite receivers. At least with Jaxon Smith and Jigba. And then I know they lost Kenneth Walker, but they still likely have a good running game. Darnold was good last year. Now, this doesn't have to do with the roster, but they do have the Super Bowl hangover, which we just saw the Eagles deal with. The Eagles in 2018, they didn't win it in 2022, but had it in 2023. And then we know last year had it as well. So I don't think the Seahawks are going to go back to back, but in terms of a roster, I understand it. Number three, your Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles come in at number three ahead of every team in the AFC. And as you heard there, behind only two teams in the NFC. And I think that's mostly fair. Like, you look at the Eagles roster, they don't have AJ anymore, but they still have Devontae, who's probably a top 11, top 10 receiver in the NFL. I think they have a deep receiving room. Dontavian Wicks, Hollywood Brown, Mekhi Lemon has to prove it, but he is a first round pick. So I think they have a deep receiver room. They have an offensive line, certainly injury concerns, but on pure talent, it's a good offensive line. Saquon coming off a down year, we'll see what he can do, but I think he's clearly like a positive on the roster. And then they had the fifth best defense in the NFL last year. They probably upgraded a corner with Tariq Woolen over Adoree Jackson. They've added Jonathan Grenard, who is better than any edge they had last year. And then safety is a question for sure, but it's just one position. You're not going to be deep at every position. We could go through all of these teams and they would tell you there's, you know, fans, media would tell you there's the one position that they're really worried about. So again, think it's good perspective. You look at the Eagles, they should be expected to compete for a Super Bowl. They should be expected to be one of the best teams in the NFC. Coaching staff, we'll see. But roster wise, very, very, very complete. And I think one of the best rosters in the NFL. Number four, just to round out the list for you, the Ravens. Number five, the Buffalo Bills. Number six, the Detroit Lions. Number seven, the Denver Broncos. Number eight, the 49ers. Number nine, the Texans. And number 10, the team AJ is forcing his way to, the New England Patriots. And for what it's worth, they kind of couched in or baked in AJ, I think, from the explanation at least, being on the roster. So you could look at the 10 best teams and say the Eagles will play four of them, but the rest of their schedule is relatively easy. NFC, five of the top 10, so right down the middle, but the top three, including the Eagles, all from the NFC, and four of the top six also in the NFC. So NFC is a tougher conference. The Eagles have a tougher path to the Super Bowl than the Ravens, Bills, Broncos, Patriots. None of those are bad teams, but I think the Eagles clearly have the toughest path to the Super Bowl. But hopefully, we're talking about a Fans of Philly trip to the Super Bowl in February. I think it's possible, and I think lists like this certainly remind everybody that they have a complete roster, and they should be very good this year. All right, That'll do it for today's Daily Go Bird pod. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. I can't wait to talk to you later tonight about the NFL schedule, the Eagles schedule, and do our first win-loss of the offseason. Always a fun day when that happens. So go out, enjoy your day. Until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.